Showtime!
What up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Jib Report. I'm your host, Pablo, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Brian Schultz. Brian, so let's talk about some of the announcements DC made. So, we got a trailer for Creature Commandos, Brian. I saw it. I had to see it a couple of times because the first time I wasn't paying attention. And we have some announcements, not announcements, but some commentary about the Batman TV series, Brian. There was a new trailer for Penguin, Brian, or they sold the same one?
It was like a fuller trailer for Penguin, but yeah, and they confirmed September 19th is the, which I think we knew, but that they confirmed that's the date. September 19th is the premiere date.
And Zaslav, under the, Brian, this dude, I don't know how he sleeps at night. He should be on one of those commercials. How you sleep at night? In those mattress commercials? I don't know how he does it with all this stuff that he has to think about. It would be tough to sleep at night knowing that you have to deal with all of this. So it brings us towards this conversation of what sort of moves Zaslav would be thinking about making to sort of help him sleep at night, Brian. But let's first start off with Creature Commandos, Brian. What'd you think about the trailer?
Lukewarm. I didn't love the animation style, to be honest. It didn't wow me.
Yeah.
The characters are obviously completely new, except for Waller and Flag. Or at least new to me. Sorry, I'm not like...
He was part of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, true. I'm not up on... Not new. I mean, new in terms of they haven't been depicted in... Yeah, exactly. They're newer to the screen world. Obviously, they are comic characters. So it just didn't wow me. I mean, there obviously was signs of the James Gunn-ish humor, kind of dark humor in the trailer. They've told us this is really the kind of... This is the intro to the new DCU. And, like, technically. But I didn't really walk away from the trailer feeling like anyone is actually going to subscribe to see this. We'll have to watch it, but like, I don't feel like the average person is looking at that as like, okay, now I'm either going to get the Disney Max Hulu bundle or I'm going to get Max on its own so I can see this show. I just don't think the trailer did enough to excite. What did you think?
I'm at a point where it's like, I'm not even going to watch the shows. I'm going to watch the breakdown of YouTubers telling me what I need to know. I may watch an episode or two just to see how it is, Brian, but I'm not interested that much. I've already gotten too much great stuff. I'm not going to totally put it off until I actually see it, but in terms of my first impressions, is not something I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, it's coming in December. The other thing that's in the back of my mind is I know it's an elephant in the room, but like I can't, when I'm watching this animated show, and I'm like, you know, Cape Crusader is about to come out. And I'm just sitting there being like, really? You chose this over that? And maybe it'll be good. But even if it's good, even if it's good, it's like you chose this crew over Batman? I know it wasn't that simple, but I'm just pointing out the dichotomy of DC Universe characters in animated form. And this just doesn't feel like a big deal to me. In a way that Cape Crusader, X-Men 97, those are big deals. And I get it. They're standing on the shoulders of legendary shows. This is trying to start from scratch. It's more like What If in that sense. But What If felt like a bigger deal to me at the time than this does.
Let's see what James Gunn is trying to pull off here. I mean, you do have the voice actors that are supposed to be the live action actors if they show up on screen.
And they do have some, you know, they have Frank Grillo. They got some real people doing the voices. If you look at the cast that's on there.
Let's see. Let's see. That's all we can say. Let's see. When does this come out?
December.
Okay. No actual.
No date, but December.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. December. Batman. TV series commentary regarding how this developed, Brian. You want to go ahead?
So let's connect this to, they did a Penguin panel at Comic-Con, which actually, bizarrely, there was some sort of fire evacuation when they were starting to do it. It was crazy. Like an actual fire started. They couldn't do their presentation the way they originally intended. So But it did ultimately get a trailer out, a full trailer. We're not going to go with, we did two trailer watches already. So we don't have to deal with that. But Matt Reeves has finally made some official comments about the state of the TV universe, where we've heard there's been several iterations of this other Batman TV show, not the Penguin, that has been, that have been canceled, right? There was the Gotham PD that became an Arkham show, and then neither of those have moved forward. But then came news there's another Batman show that's being considered. So Reeves came out and said, he kind of gave a little bit of history. So I'll give you some of his quotes. Quote, as we were writing The Batman, I was like, hey, you know what? I think there's some cool shows we could do. And it was actually why I wanted to make our deal at Warner Brothers. That sounds ominous. It wasn't going to be a Batman story. It was going to be about this corrupt cop and going to be about how the worst gang in Gotham was actually the GCPD. And the cop was going to come across paths. He would have touched paths with Gordon, who would have been someone to measure him against, but it would be a battle for the cop's soul. End quote. And then he said something else, which I thought was kind of very interesting. And I feel like you don't often hear creators talk about this, because he was talking about the Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And he says some of the ideas he had for Gotham PD did end up in the Penguin. But he said the studio told him after canceling the shows, quote, they were like, we like what you're doing, but we want to lean harder into the marquee characters. End quote.
Marquee characters being,
well, Batman, Joker, Penguin, Superman. One, I mean, basically anybody. Like, obviously, he's Batman universe, but I'm just saying.
I see.
Basically saying we want nothing to do with shows that characters. Are in the universe, but don't have.
No, gotcha. I'm fine with that decision that they made, Brian.
I actually am too. This is one of the rare instances where I agree with the studio.
We don't need any distractions. We're trying to do something with this IP in this world, in this universe, to rival and to surpass the successes of Marvel, of the MCU. That's the attempt here. Doing other stuff that sounds good, possibly, Brian. But I don't think, because my thought originally with Gotham, this was going to be a Jim Gordon sort of show, which was, I was there for.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for that. I wasn't trying to see, you know. And if you sit down and think about it, I mean, the only reason I would perhaps greenlight a Gotham PD or that sort of show, and it would have been Jim Gordon, it was because of Jeffrey Wright. That's it.
Yeah, because they already did the Fox already did the Gotham show with exactly. Young Gordon with Ben
exactly.
McKinney.
Exactly.
So we've already been there.
Exactly. Yeah. So it would have been just for Jeffrey Wright and for the possibility of having this dude be around to show up every once in a blue, to leave remnants of his work around and him having to look through the evidence and perhaps having conversations with Batman in the alleys. And those are the sort of times that we see him. That's what I was looking forward to seeing, not this. So this would just be a distraction to what? For what? To do this for how long? So I'm cool.
So I'm reading between the lines here, pure speculation.
Okay.
I view Reeves's quotes as the beginning of the end of his relationship with the studio.
Yes, absolutely.
Because he's saying, he's saying a big part of why he signed the deal is to do stuff like this. And he very clearly is saying the studio saying you can't do that. Go make your movies Batman. If you want to do Penguin, that's fine. But we're not interested in that other stuff. This goes to our point that Elseworlds is just remnants. Elseworlds ain't a thing. Yeah. Even for him, who has made them, made them money.
Yeah,
they're basically like, this is your lane, and if you're okay with that lane, we'll work with you. If you're not okay with that lane, finish your trilogy. Or finish a trilogy as long as it makes money, and we'll move on. Mm. But I actually agree with Warner Brothers, because it tells me they view Lanterns. That's the kind of show they see as appropriate. And I am all for that because Marvel refuses to do that on Disney Plus. They refuse to put the real characters, the marquee characters.
Yeah, so guess what?
You want to come over the top on them?
Yeah.
Not every character gets Superman's treatment on the big screen. Or if it's going to get that treatment, it's got to earn it on the small screen first. I am fine with that if you're going to put real money and real creators behind stuff like Lanterns.
Because if Green Lantern works, Brian,
he'll be on the big screen.
And the money.
John and Hal will both be on the big screen, and everyone will be excited. Comparison, we know the last season of Game of Thrones was very controversial. But if they had made the last season of Game of Thrones into two movies, as opposed to whatever it was, seven episodes, they'd have made money on that.
Oh, hells yeah.
Dragons, big battle, Night King, people would have shown up. They'd have made money on that because they earned it with the first six seasons. I actually read this and I kind of was excited. I got to be honest. I was like, somebody over at Warner Brothers actually room said something that you and I would have said.
Yeah.
We would have read these things and been like, wait, where's insert Batman? Where's, like, what are we doing here?
When I read it, I was like, this isn't what I thought it would be. And what are we doing this for? I mean, you know, now we can't do this because we're trying to get this other stuff that we're doing. Green Lanterns, yeah, that's big. That we got to do that.
You know, we've had this discussion of like, should Robin be in the Batman 2? Like, will he be in the Batman 2? But I'm like, there's a part of me that's like, you know what? I know they did Titans with a version of Dick, but like, if you wanted to make a prestige Dick Grayson Robin show or like something where he's on a collision course to be with Batman, but not there, I don't know. I'm just like, that's a profile of character that would qualify in my mind if you want to live in the Batman universe, but not have Batman be central to every story. You know, you put it in Robin's perspective.
Oh, man. So I get chills when I think about that first interest. You know, when I think about Alan Rickman as Bruce Wayne, it's like, and him looking at that kid, you're like, him being a father figure and he's like trying to figure that out. That is what we want to see. I have said from Jump Street that this announcement, if it was ever to be made, the Batman doesn't matter after that.
I agree. I mean, we are riding for the...
We'll be there to watch it.
Yeah, I know. But
to see how it turns out. But in terms of excitement...
No. Richson, Chalamet, Braving the Bold. That's what we're there for. I mean, the good thing, Richson is, he's publicly trying for it. He's telling everyone he can that he wants to do it. So
I think it's done, Brian.
In my personal opinion, I think it's not. Gunn says they haven't cast anyone for Brave and the Bold.
Certainly he hasn't cast any. Brian, done doesn't mean signature on the paper. I mean, that's finality.
Yeah.
But in terms of where they're going, that's the decision that they're heading towards.
I still think they're also, with Brave and the Bold, I have a feeling they might change directors too. Because I feel like they...
Who's the director?
Annie Muschietti, who directed...
Oh, yeah, they're changing that.
I just feel like they thought The Flash was going to be a much bigger deal commercially.
And I don't know who was in the room
and they gave him,
that thought that.
Yeah. Right, but they gave him that gig before Flash came out. And then Flash bombed. And I think now they might be having buyer's remorse on that. And so I would not be surprised if they changed that out.
I could have been in the room and been like, are you guys crazy right now? I was in the room with you. You think this movie Flash is gonna do what it's, you think it's gonna do?
Halfway.
I mean, he's done other movies, right, Brian, that have been
It Part One is excellent. That's his that's the one that you know carries the water for him. But
that's his Clerks as
David Smith. You know, yeah. Or his Matrix 1. I mean, that's not as good as that, but you know what I mean. Like, that's
the movie that that's the one that made him. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
The person who was in that room, kudos to you, my friend, for thinking through this and understanding what the actual goal is and not this other stuff. Because it could be great, but that's not the focus.
No.
You know what I'm saying? We can't have any distraction towards what it is that we're trying to do here.
It- it's also a recognition of a studio that we're going to talk about in a second is in some dire straits.
Yes.
You know, I don't think you can get the clip. It's like, remember in Crimson Tide when Hackman and Washington are going at it on the sub and Hackman's like, he starts to lose his mind and they're getting in the fight. He's like, they're fueling their missiles. We don't have time to go around. That's what WB's in that moment. We don't have time to go around.
Exactly. We don't got time to be messing around with this other stuff.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
We need our main line. We need our franchise players on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. So this leads us to Zaslav.
Yeah.
Decisions that need to be made or are being thought about, Brian, and what's going on there?
All right. So what is going on there? So report came in the past week, another round of layoffs at the WB. They also officially, now they're suing the NBA, but they lost the NBA rights contract
to
Amazon.
Wow.
Who basically poison pilled the deal. The rumor is Amazon basically, like, the total value of the deal, Amazon paid a lot of it up front because they had the cash and they knew that WB didn't. So in order to match, they basically were like, yeah, you can take on more debt, you can bankrupt yourself. But
yeah.
So anyway, but what also was reported by the Financial Times over in Europe, David Zaslav has examined strategic options, including spinning off the studio Warner Brothers and its Max streaming service into a new company and selling assets.
This is where you get the angels singing. Guys, I haven't talked for... Brian, talk to the people, man. I'm tired of talking about the same thing.
2 years? At least 2 years? I mean, since the deal was done, right? The stock is down 70% in the last 2 years since this Warner Brothers Discovery merger.
You've been talking about Ever since Zaslav took over.
Yeah, you've been talking
about it. On a summer day in the basement, we were doing our show. And I've been saying it ever since. This dude is a business guy. He's not into this whole superhero stuff. What are the numbers? Show me the numbers.
Yeah.
But there, all this other stuff is going on. Major stuff is going on.
And he has not overseen any wins. Right. So if you say like, okay, he inherited Joker, he inherited the Batman. Now, in fairness, he was trying to wrap up the Snyderverse, which is an unenviable task. But all the projects that he oversaw have flopped. Black Adam,
yeah.
Aquaman sequel, Flash. Right, none of them went anywhere. So, he's got it all bet on Superman next year. The IP is obviously more valuable than what they've been able to put out so far. And look, there's nothing in this that says it's DC specifically. And I would expect that of the assets they have, DC would be at or near the top of the list in terms of price tag, in terms of threshold for him to sell it. But I think the article, what I take from the article is simply that the phone lines are open, and they were not open up until recently. And, I mentioned it briefly on another show, but I mean, I think Amazon is just trolling him at this point, like taking the NBA, took
Capers. Yeah.
But I think that's who, if you were saying like, hey, I can do a futures market on who is going to bid to the moon and win DC, if it goes on the block at all costs, I would bet on Amazon all day.
Of course.
All day. Even if
I don't know. Brian, I don't know how. Like, I would love to hear the story of how they got the Cape Crusader, Brian. I would really love to hear it. Because I got to find somebody that can talk to something that I can talk to. So, be like, yo, how did this happen?
So here, I can tell you a pitch that I think Netflix makes this same pitch. And I heard this stat the other day with regard to Netflix versus Apple Plus, and it blew my mind. Netflix gets more traffic in one day than every single product on Apple Plus does in a month.
Wow.
And Apple spends a boatload and has good stuff. There's some good stuff on Apple.
Yeah.
But people just don't want to subscribe. Even if they have an Apple device, they just don't want to pay for Apple Plus.
Yeah.
So the pitch Amazon would make is you can't get Cape Crusader to enough people. You don't have the reach. Between HBO and Max, you don't have the audience. We have the audience. So you give it to us, we throw back some cash to you, and we blow it up and make it such a worldwide phenomenon that maybe some people will look at that and go back to your service and want to subscribe. That is the pitch.
Yeah. To see other stuff.
Right. The pitch is that you kind of get our table scraps, but our table scraps are worth more than your entire subscriber base.
Yeah.
That's the, because Netflix makes the same argument. Look at the shows that Netflix has made popular. Right? Suits was a nice show on USA 10 years ago. Netflix turned Suits into a worldwide phenomenon in syndication to the point where there's another Suits show being made.
Wow.
So this is what, when you have the distribution and the reliable subscriber base, that's your value proposition. And that's how you get your hooks into valuable IP.
I mean, I still think Brian Zaslav is holding off on the conversations after Superman.
Totally agree.
The conversations are for sure being had. I don't know anything. I'm just, if I'm a businessman and I'm in Zaslav's position and we're talking about assets, taking a look at assets, no bigger asset than that one, I think.
Yeah.
Because all you got to do is compare to what MCU has done, Brian, which is what, 30-something billion dollars?
Well,
in box office?
I forget now. It used to be at the tip of my fingertips. The thing with IP like that is if you let it go, you never get it back. And if you remember, this happened to Sony. When Sony had the option, when they had Spider-Man, remember that? They had that option. It was like $15 million. They could have had a whole library. $15 million. Robert Downey made more than that in like a month working on Avengers movies. They could have had the entire library for $15 million and said no. So if you sell it, it's never coming back.
And that's why you got to have a big price tag. And the only price tag that can pay it, only people that can pay that price tag is Amazon.
I just think
how much you think, Brian?
This is finger in the air. At least 10 billion.
Nah.
You think it's higher?
Of course.
Oh, you think it's higher? Okay. I'm just thinking Star Wars and them were like four, like 10, 12 years ago.
How much has Star Wars made in terms of billions? Would you say
They've made money on it for sure.
Yeah, but I'm saying like how much money in the box office has Star Wars has made?
I mean, I can look it up. The new trilogy since they bought it alone would be $5 billion, just on those three movies. Okay, but then you got to factor. But then factor in merchandise, video games. Theme park, right? Like, it definitely has paid for itself multiple times over.
How much money has the MCU made?
Oh, the MCU? With the 30-plus films? They're still probably 30 billion, even though they're below a billion per movie now. They're still about $30 billion at box office.
Okay. I know $100 billion is crazy.
I don't think it's that high, but okay.
No, it's crazy.
You might ask for that, but I don't think...
I would say in the 50 to 60 range, Brian, because you're looking at the already proven what you can possibly have here. And you haven't done it, not because these characters is whack, it's because the people that have done it, they're whack. Woo! You just got to find somebody that can get it up there.
Yeah.
You have that potential. It's yours if you want it. And this is what it's going to cost. And you can think about the merchandise and the theme parks and all this other stuff that you will have to sort of consider, right? So I'm saying around $50 to $60 billion, you probably go... I know that sounds crazy, but it's not laughable.
I don't think it's that high.
Brian.
I don't think it's that high. I think you're right in the sense that if Amazon... I think over time, I think of now... That type of IP is almost like an NFL or an NBA franchise. The value doesn't go down. In part because there's always new comics. There's always new, like, it's just like, there's always new rides. There's always new toys, right? It is not finite by definition.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the day, like, Warner Brothers is so wounded, they're not in a position to command
that sort of money
value for what it might be worth.
Okay.
So to me, I think the bidding starts at 10, but I don't think it goes to, I don't think it goes to 20. I don't think it goes to 25.
So because, you think 15, 20?
Because there's also just not many companies at the table, right? So like Apple would come to the table initially, for sure. I'm not convinced Netflix would. Like, I don't know
that they
have
the
resources to, they make money, but I don't know if they have the resources to do it.
Nah.
I'm just looking at, you got to look at the behavior, right? Like Netflix doesn't, like Netflix isn't in the business of building universes within genres. That's not what they do.
No. Forget it. I don't think Netflix will, they would want to. They'll probably test the waters.
Yeah, like I think Disney would throw a bid in for sure. They would say, look, there's a synergy between having Marvel and DC under the same roof.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I agree with you, but I'm saying they would clearly lob a bid in
yes.
if it was available. But to
so
me,
the bidding war. So there goes the bidding war, Brian.
Think Amazon will come over the top and be like, "This we have the biggest checkbook and the biggest commitment, and look at what we've done with fantasy, with action, with other things. You can find it on the service. They're the ones who build these worlds within this Prime Video service."
I wanted to ask you this. Hours viewed is, the difference is crazy between Apple and Netflix. Perhaps, Brian, with that attempt at purchasing that IP, perhaps that can make some gains for them, Brian. Perhaps that's what they perhaps would look at as a possibility if they went for that IP. What do you think?
Absolutely think they would bid for it. I mean, absolutely think they would bid for it. Now they have indicated they want to actually start paring back some of their expenditure because they aren't getting the exposure. But there's no question. I mean, they would be one of the, they would probably be the other strongest bidder in the room mm-hmm. who could go a couple rounds on this. Mm-hmm. But while I think Apple has a lot of very promising things that I've enjoyed personally, there isn't the organization of the service yet. It's more they've thrown the money in a lot of different directions, and I feel like they've had some wins. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like Amazon has been much more systematic. Like I said, I talked about it with regard to fantasy. Like they are building a universe of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 big budget fantasy shows to sort of take the Game of Thrones model and say, yeah, but we really believe we want to be a destination for fans of this type of TV. Mm-hmm. And I think they're starting to do it in superheroes, right? They got The Boys, they got Invincible, they're dabbling in Spider-Man now. That's why, to me, like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I know it wasn't good, but they did that Sylvester Stallone movie, Samaritan. Like, they are working on the superhero genre.
Doing a hell of a job, right?
And they got Caped Crusader, right? So it's animated, it's live act. Like, I'm just saying, they're going to be walking, like, I think we're going to do it to a show at some point about the Emmys, but I think, you know, they're going to be walking around in a few weeks with Caped Crusader and Invincible as like their two offerings in superhero animation. Like, that's as good as anybody.
Yeah.
It's as good as anybody.
Yeah. So, man, this is a very interesting situation here because
timeline, you hit it, by the way. It's Superman comes, and that first weekend is going to tell you a lot about what comes next.
And I don't necessarily think, Brian, they're going to be looking at these numbers and looking at what the possibilities after what Superman does in those first couple of weeks. And if the excitement is crazy, which I hope it is, Brian, I hope this Superman movie is what we expect it to be. It sets the stage for the continuation of something that we thought we would probably never see because of the disastrous attempts made. Now we get this second chance at doing it again, Brian, not the right way, but a better way.
Yeah. But I think, I really think it will be kind of that simple. It's like, and this is, you know, this is not a sequel, right? So you can't hold this to the same standard as Deadpool and Wolverine. But they do need to eventize that weekend. 2025 is a highly competitive year. Like we just talked about, there's a Jurassic Park movie lurking around the same time frame as when Superman comes out. Mm-hmm. There's no margin for error. They have to own that weekend, and they have to get people walking out of the theater buzzing about it to where they go back and see it, or they have to pay. They have to. They saw it in regular. They got to see it in IMAX. Mm-hmm. Like it's being shot for IMAX. So if it's a huge hit, that will buy them some time. It will ensure that, you know, Woman of Tomorrow gets a real shot. It will ensure that Brave and the Bold probably gets made. Like a lot of things I think will hinge on Superman's success. If Superman is the Flash, I think the sale of the IP within
don't say that
12 months. No, but I'm saying
I hear you.
But yeah, but I mean, know. There's a world where the movie doesn't work.
Yeah, but I'm not even thinking like that, man.
I mean, like, to me, though, like, Man of Steel, they eventized the open. Mm-hmm. They did a fabulous job of promotion. But whatever else you think about the movie, the first teaser is brilliant.
Yes.
I think all three trailers are excellent.
Yes.
The promotion got them to where that opening weekend, they made 100, that was an origin film. Of a relaunch of a character nearly a decade after Superman Returns, they got 128 million US in 2013. That's a massive open.
Yeah.
Now, people were very polarized on what they saw, which is why it fell off rapidly and only made about 600 total, 650 total. But, you know, this movie probably needs to, globally, that first weekend, they probably need like $300 million. And if they get that, then they're probably getting 800. And if they get 800, they're going to make money. It's going to say that the character has some staying power. And on we go. Mm-hmm. If the opening weekend is 150 total global, they're going to lose money or break even. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of David Zaslav's assistants saying Mr. Bezos is on the line again.
He's not going to be able to ignore it, man.
No.
Because the other door is pounding, and there's a lot of people that are upset. If you can open that other door, that can probably alleviate that noise. I think that's a phone call or a conversation he's going to have, Brian. He's going
to
have.
To go back to the numbers. Yeah, and to go back to the numbers and the time, right? So the equity market cap today is $20 billion, give or take. The debt load on the company is $40 billion. So this goes to the point of, I think your number is going to be high, because what your number implies is that DC alone is worth more than twice what the company is worth to the public market.
I think so.
I don't think that they would get, that's what I say. I don't think they would get that, even if over time they could justify that. But think about,
you're going to get, this is the thing, Brian. If only one is offering, then they'll take that offer only. But when you throw the possibilities of Netflix making a bid, Disney, Apple, it can get crazy. 45, 85. You know what I'm saying? It can get crazy.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. North of 10, though, north of 10 is more than half of the company's entire market cap today. That's enormous just for an IP that right now has how many active like franchises? Basically has 2 + 1 in the hopper, right? Basically has the Batman, Joker, and then Superman on the way. That's all they have. Yeah. Like, we love what's coming in TV, but, like, they haven't even released the Penguin. They haven't even made Lantern. None of this is all theoretical. Yeah. So you're paying for just the creation of the content itself.
But you got something to look at, Brian. You got something to look at. Look at what they did over there with this. This is what it can be worth. They have to look at that as well. And I think the purchasers are looking at that as well.
Oh, for sure. But there's more projection at the moment. Because like when Lucas sold Star Wars, he could say like, I already made Star Wars. Like, there were six movies. You could go to the box office and be like, these are six of the 20 highest grossing movies of all time. He could look at the toy sales and be like, people buying Star Wars anything.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time, right? So there was this valuation of tangible growth that was already there, whereas this is definitely more like a mess that has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
It is. That's what the reality is.
Yeah.
That's had its high points have been really high. The Nolan Batman films, the Donner Superman, but like
it's only been those
not
two.
Been a consistent profit generator for anyone. Yeah.
And we made an attempt, and an attempt was made. It wasn't a good one.
Yeah.
But it's like, again, not to just keep on beating the dead horse, but you would have asked us how much you think a Justice League movie will make. $2 billion, easy.
That's right. You would just start at 1.5. once Avengers came out at 1.6, you would just immediately be like, well, it's at least that. Justice League characters are higher profile. They're bigger deals.
And what did it make?
600.
That's what that is.
Yeah, Avengers 1 made more domestically than Justice League did worldwide.
Painful yet again. But the potential is there.
Yep.
Yeah, let us know in the comment section below what you guys think of all this. I know these conversations can get a bit deep, but we're talking about the future of the genre here. Right? Because it could all end because the people who own it will decide to say, we're not making money off of these things anymore. Nobody wants to do it. No director wants to come in and actually put their career on the line to make a movie like this. And we no longer want to spend money on this because that's what it takes, a lot of money. And for it to fail because whatever reasoning, is not good business. So we have to talk about the psychology, I guess, Brian, of what these people are thinking about in making these decisions, because at the end of the day, they got to make money. But at the end of the day as well, they have to make the fans happy because they're the ones paying.
Yeah.
So.
But that's why I use that Marvel example, right? The reason why Sony had the option to buy all of Marvel's catalog for that low of a price way back when was because Marvel had been bankrupt.
Yeah.
They didn't have any money. So they were willing to put the IP up because they needed the cash. That's why we're having this conversation.
But Brian, still, I'm not even thinking about Zaslav's desperation or the company's desperation. I'm thinking about the bidders and how high they'll bid this up. Let's see. It'll be very interesting after Superman.
Yes.
Very interesting after Superman. Let us know in the comment section below what you guys think. Hit that like and subscribe. Share with your friends. And comment in the comment section below. Let us know what you guys think of all that is DC and what is happening. And what will Zaslav do? Will he sell the IP because he's desperate? A lot of decisions are being made because of desperation these days.
That's very true.
So let's see. Let us know in the comment section below, and we'll see you next time on the MJ Report.
The show goes on.